Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Look, I'm going to level with you. I have my own things to deal with. After all, we are about to have a lovely landing.
The Orphans, an original cinematic audio drama, is now available. And now, The Orphans Facility, an exciting new prequel series. Catch up with Season 1 with new episodes of Facility coming bi-weekly.
The following episode of Flame On is presented by the Nerdy Show Network.
Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse.
All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop.
Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination.
And with the generous support of listeners like you.
To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
What's going on, everybody? Pat DeBear here, and we are back again with another Microsoda. This time, we are talking Loki from Disney Plus. I am currently joined by BJ.
Hello.
And by Eric.
Hello.
And you may possibly hear the voice of Brian a little bit later into this conversation. He is not able to join us at the start of this, but is hoping to join later, probably about halfway through this episode. However, if he does not make it and you do not hear him at the end of this episode, just pretend I never said anything.
Send him hate mail.
So we are here to discuss Loki. Loki is an American television series created by Michael Waldron for the streaming service Disney Plus, based on Marvel Comics featuring the character of the same name. Set in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the MCU, it shares continuity with the films of the franchise and takes place after the events of the film Avengers Endgame, in which an alternate version of Loki created a new timeline. Loki is produced by Marvel Studios, with Waldron serving as head writer and Kate Herron directing for the first season. Loki premiered on June 9, 2021. Its first season, consisting of 6 episodes, concluded on July 14th and is part of Phase 4 of the MCU. It received positive reviews with praise for the performances, musical score, and visuals. A second season is in development. Spoiler alert, there is a second season. This is the first of the shows that actually has a second season in development. So far, all of the ones that we've been given really lent themselves to be a single season storyline. What If is the only other one that I know of that we will be getting soon that has the potential for more seasons, because, you know, it's What If stories. They can do whatever they want with it. But to get a second season of Loki is kind of interesting, but we could see how it was set up for that throughout the first season. Joining us, not making a liar out of me, and joining us a lot sooner than we expected, Brian is also with us today.
Hello.
Sorry for the delay. I'm very excited to talk about Loki, though. I did not want to miss this because this was one of my favorite Marvel shows. I mean, we've had a lot, but it is probably up there, if not over others that I, you know, have seen and we've talked about.
From Marvel TV newly proper, as opposed to Hulu and Netflix and ABC. All the other
Freeform, all of them.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forget that Runaways was Cloak and Dagger were Freeform.
Yep.
I forget they were actual like television shows. I just think of them as Hulu TV. But yes, Freeform, ABC, Netflix, all of those. But yeah, so let's dive in. I think we should do it our old school way. Let's start out with some of the things that we enjoyed. So BJ, I know that you were chomping at the bit, like a certain variant, to talk some Loki. So why not share your positive takeaways from the first season of Loki on Disney Plus?
So I'm going to go ahead and spoiler alert this. I actually had no misgivings whatsoever for the show at all. It honestly, the pacing was perfect. And I'll go ahead before we start talking about this. I mean, obviously, if you haven't watched it, what's wrong with you? Steal somebody's Disney Plus account password and watch the fucking thing. But no, I honestly, it had an emotional depth that one, I wasn't prepared for, and that made me a little mad because WandaVision thoroughly trounced the fuck out of my heart. So it had an emotional depth that I absolutely loved. It had the score was mesmerizing, and Brian, I think you posted when it was posted up on Spotify, and for probably a solid week, I was listening to the all the tracks that they had posted at the time, similar to WandaVision. But honestly, the thing I love most about the whole show was actually the finale of season one, mostly because you had this perfect build for Loki and Sylvie, where Loki got to kind of rush through his own development through the MCU, but he never got to experience it. And then you have Sylvie, who's kind of just, she's in pain, she's angry, and you have Loki that knows exactly what's going to happen if she doesn't stow that shit, if she doesn't let enough of it go. And the absolute, what was funny is they did this wonderful kind of bait and switch where it was pretty obvious that it was going to be Immortus or a variant of Kang the Conqueror. And that performance, he was in Lovecraft Country.
Jonathan Majors.
Jonathan Majors.
Yes, Jonathan. And like this whole idea that you're introducing a big bad for another movie, but it's not actually him that you're introducing. It's just a different version of him. So I really hope season two, we get to see all sorts of different versions of Kang. That would be absolutely fantastic.
I feel like you're going to get to see that a lot sooner.
Yeah.
Also, we should be very clear. It is not Kang.
No.
And he is not Immortus, even though he is very similar to Immortus. In fact, I argue he is more Immortus than He Who Remains, who is actually a distinct character in Marvel, and they've sort of conflated all of these similar things. Like Citadel at the End of Time, which is where they find He Who Remains, is actually also the Chronopolis, even though it's actually the Citadel, not the Chronopolis. But Kang's fortress is the Chronopolis. So basically, the writers took a lot of Marvel, like time travel-y stuff, and kind of like built it around Kang, and then that's what we got.
I love that. Like, I absolutely love that he was kind of this mishmash of all these kind of big, like, multiversal time stream characters. Because when you play with time travel, it gets wonky. Like it, no matter what, it's going to get a little bit messy. But the way they kind of figured it out for the show was wonderful. But yeah, my favorite part of the entire series is definitely the finale, because with WandaVision and the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, since they're just limited series, the ends definitely, I won't say it diminished the finale, but it kind of felt watered down for those finales when you're like, okay, now it's going into a movie. It's going into a bunch of movies. So it kind of deflates in a way. But with Loki, seeing as it's getting a season two, and it has definite ramifications upon the movie universe and everything else, I don't know, just maybe it's because it's getting a season two and it's not directly leading into a singular movie. Maybe that's it. But honestly, this almost feels like a weird sort of Marvel version of Doctor Who that we've kind of fallen into. And I absolutely love, I absolutely love that about the show, but no, the finale definitely knocked it out of the park for me. And I'm salivating for the next season and what else they can do with Tom Hiddleston. And honestly, and this is gonna make me a horrific pessimist right here. The heartbreak Tom Hiddleston on his face when Sylvie tossed him through that door. I was like, oh, like it was fantastic, but also it was genuinely heartbreaking to see her make the decision that she did. So I can't wait for her to come back. Like, I honestly, but the best thing about the show for me, I mean, besides like start to finish, was definitely the finale.
Awesome. Eric, what were some positive takeaways for you from Loki?
Visuals were amazing. I love the TVA. I want to go there in Disney World, Disneyland now.
You can go there now.
Postmodern Jukebox. They would be playing all the time in the TVA, I feel like, in your world.
If anyone wants to go to the TVA right now, and they don't mind traveling, and honestly, I would recommend probably not traveling too far, but Atlanta, if you go to the Marriott Marquis, which is a major hotel for DragonCon. Yeah. I know, BJ, yep, you're familiar with it.
Oh, very familiar.
That is the big shot where it's like all the levels and there's statues in the middle, which there's no statues in real life, but the elevators in the middle. Like, there's a great article up on Polygon. I'll have to put up on the website that talks about all the visual influences. So yes, you can go there now, Eric.
I just love that 70s retro futuristic. It's so good. I mean, the way their library files were all organized and looked like an old library. It was just, Ms. Minute was amazing. Tara Strong is just fantastic in anything she does. You know, Ms. Minute's killed some people. You know, she's a devious little clock.
Somebody said that they got the same vibes from Miss Minute as they did with like Bill Cipher from Gravity Falls.
Let's see here. Other things, just learning with Loki how powerless he is in the TVA. Just that one scene where they're in that office and they open the drawer to the cart and there's just all those Infinity Stones there. And it's like, well, what's even the point? Like, everything we know is nothing, you know? It's just so good. I wish we could have had more Loki variants. I understand why we just focused on the two of them and just saw a little bit of it in episode 5 and 6, but that would just be great to have all these different. And I'm thinking in season 2, we might see more variants of more different superheroes and whatnot, which would be fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Like live action what ifs. Like, that would be amazing.
That would be the point where I would want to see Storm as Thor from the comic come in.
Oh, my God.
That would be amazing if that were ever to happen.
But yeah, Dr. Loki or Loki Who, whichever way you want to call it, was just a great series. And even when I pulled up the episodes and their little synopsis, I was like, oh wow, they did all that in just the 6 episodes. Yeah, that's right. They were just and what's her name? Gugu Mbatha-Raw, who plays Renslayer. Oh, she's so good. And I can't wait to see more from that character.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Terminatrix. Do you guys remember reading the Terminatrix objective? Because I do. She's huge in that. I mean, basically, it was this whole Avengers, I think it crossed over, because it was like an annuals crossover. And I hadn't thought about that comic in years, like decades. And then Renslayer shows up and I'm reading about her. I'm going back. I'm like, oh, my God, that's her. They had some great representation in this cast. I love her. And I love what's her name? I can never say it. Wunmi Mosaku, who played Hunter B-15.
Yeah, she was the sister. She was the older sister, Letty's older sister in Lovecraft Country.
Yep. Yeah, she's fantastic. I love her.
I'm very excited that the two of them are going to be back for the next season also. Like, I'm very interested to see what He Who Remains, what kind of weird plan he rolled out with him and Miss Minutes sent her, whatever errand they sent her on. So
I'm thinking that because Kang is going to be the movie villain, I'm thinking Renslayer is going to end up being the villain of Loki season 2. And like, that's just how they'll do it.
That is possible. Yep. Brian, what are some positive takeaways from Loki for you?
So you guys have already touched on a lot of it. Natalie Holt's score, amazing. The use of a theremin in this score blew my mind. And every time I could listen to it, like BJ said, I've listened to it over and over again.
I want a theremin now.
They're so cheap. You can get one for a couple, like a hundred. You can make one. But anyway, long story short, theremins are amazing. You should play more of them. Hopefully someday I actually can make my world debut as the Leona Theremin, playing my theremin. So what else? We got Michael Waldron is the creator of the show. And what's funny is when you hear his background, you'll be like, oh, that makes sense. He did Rick and Morty, Community, and he's writing a script for Doctor Strange's Multiverse of Madness. And he got brought on later, so he's been through a few hands. But Eric, to your point about the sort of brutalist, mid-century modern, retro-futurist sort of look they were going for, the words that Waldron used is Mad Men meets Blade Runner. So
it's fantastic. It's
perfect, yeah, right? Absolutely. That's exactly it.
I mean, I assume it's like Blade Runner. I don't know.
Oh, that's thank you for that gift that keeps on giving. Oh, we'll have to, if you don't know what we're talking about, I don't even know, go back and dig in the lore, you'll find it. I'm sure we got a wiki, right? Kate Herron, who is the director of I believe most if not all the episodes, she has done a few things, a lot of short films, but Daybreak, she did some of the episodes in Daybreak, and that visual style that she has in terms of her directing was amazing. The Lamentous, the episode when they're on the planet that's about to get pulverized, amazing. Oh, there's two episodes, I guess. But that is one of the most, like, there's this whole scene where they're in a city, and this city and the way they shoot Loki and Sylvie, but spoilers, by the way, if we haven't already said, Loki's female variant is named Sylvie. You probably know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. They're running around fighting, trying to escape. Some of the best television, some of the best visual stylistic directing I've seen in forever. All the location shots in and around Atlanta, great. They dressed them up perfectly. You'd never know it was Atlanta. I love Owen Wilson in this so much. And I realized that I kind of love Owen Wilson, and I've forgotten because of all the, what's the director? I love Wes Anderson films that he's in.
Wow.
Yeah,
thank you. He never wowed during this series.
No, he's kind of a understated, surly version of the character he normally plays, which, speaking of, which is kind of funny, if you've ever seen Miracle Workers on TBS and now I guess HBO Max, I don't know, that Owen Wilson was supposed to play the God character that Steve Buscemi is playing.
Really?
And when you watch it, you're like, oh, that would never have worked.
Oh,
so
no.
Wisely, he left at one point. But anyway, that's just it, random aside. What else? Oh my God, Tom Hiddleston's amazing. Loki has always been such a fantastic breakthrough character. And in so many ways, Loki's success in the movies of Marvel have helped him be a more fully realized and sort of complex character in the comics. So I love the interplay between the two. And then last but not least, I mean, Richard E. Grant. Oh my God. Anytime Richard E. Grant shows up in anything is just a treat. He is the actor, British actor. God, plays so many things. He was the classic Loki in that ridiculous Kirby. I think it was Kirby who may have designed that, but, or yeah, I would say Kirby, but
yeah, it was,
fact
it
check
was.
Me. That outfit's so ridiculous and fantastic. And just getting not even two full episodes, but whatever, like of him there playing this, like classic Loki, but not really, because he's not evil. He's kind of like, you know, he's lived so long. Like he's the Loki who survived, right? He's the one who just kind of made it through Thanos, actually got out, got away, hid away forever, and then came back and got busted when he needed some love. So I this whole show is such a treat. I don't want to take all the good stuff because there's so much, but obviously I enjoyed it.
Very nice. So y'all have touched on a lot of the things that I would have said. I liked the show. I don't know if I was as enthralled with it as everybody else, but it was one of those things that I did find myself making sure that I watched when it came out because I wanted to see it. Going back and watching the new Rockstar's Easter egg video so I can figure out the things that I should have known that I did not know. two major variant things that I loved about the show. The uncredited Chris Hemsworth cameo as Throg in the glass jar as they pan through the ground in the void at the end of time. And of course, the breakout star of the show, Alligator Loki. Because who doesn't love a side-eye, eye-rolling alligator that didn't actually roll his eyes, but the way they filmed it and the way they did it with the blink, just making it fit as an eye roll, was stupendous. It just, so much character in an alligator. I was thoroughly impressed.
Somebody at Disney has like this, like with Grogu and now like Gator Loki, like somebody there knows how to make their plushy mascots for the shows. The moment that it goes on sale, I'm getting one. Like, not even joking.
I mean, why wouldn't you? It's just everything that you could ever need.
And they're going to sell so many, like, Loki headbands for everyone to put on their pets. It's going to be crazy.
Cannot wait. I need those in my life. Frog Thor in any and all forms is always welcome. If you've never read the Pet Avengers, Frog Thor plays a big role in that. But he, you know, obviously has been around for a while. And so I don't know.
Please use his actual name. It's Throg.
Oh, well, sure. Throg.
Throg. It is Throg.
Is it always been that, or is that like a new version? Okay.
No, well, it's always been Throg.
I thought Frog Thor. Anyway, I like saying it. But the helicopter, we'd be remiss if you are not paying close enough attention, and trust me, it goes by so fast you could easily miss it. Look back on, is it the second or third to last episode? It's when they're in the void or whatever. There is a reference to a ridiculous part of Marvel continuity that is to this day, it's kind of a weird 60s, 70s-ism. Thanos, who all of us, you know from the MCU and comics, Thanos is this mighty titan of whatever and world universe ender. He had a yellow helicopter at one point. He liked to fly around in, you know, like you do. And it's referenced. There is a visual gag in the void of the yellow helicopter, and it is amazing. I'm so happy that that's there, even though it's the most ridiculous thing ever. I actually think I don't have like the toy of the helicopter, but they put like a car out, like a Hot Wheels car. And I think did I have it, or Pat, did you have it? I remember one of us had that little like car, and I think it had the helicopter like graphic on it or something.
It was like a little Hot Wheels car, and it had Thanos's face on the hood, right?
No, I think it had, well, it may have been on the packaging, but it definitely referenced the ridiculousness of Thanos.
The Thanos copter.
Of the Thanos copter, yeah.
Which not only is it yellow, it actually says Thanos on the side, as if it couldn't be.
Branding is key, right?
Exactly.
As we have learned lately in Orlando, or if you're following the Orlando bar scene, branding is key.
Oh, boy.
God damn. Yeah, but there were a lot of Easter eggs for different things. There was a giant yellow jacket helmet in the void. There were of things that if you weren't really paying attention, you would not have realized were there, which is why those videos are fantastic, because I don't have the time to sit there and look for things. But when you tell me what's going on, I go, oh, okay, cool. Now I know. So we want to thank you all for taking time to listen to us here on Flame On. We hope that you are enjoying this episode and everything else that we put out for you. Be sure to check out our website at flameonshow.com to keep up with all of our social media and where you can find us outside of our podcasting medium. We also have links to our Threadless shops. If you want to get some Flame On swag, you can do so there. You can also link to our Patreon, patreon.com/flameonshow, where you'll be able to find our four new Patreon levels and the great perks and swag that are that go along with that. We actually just got our pins, so our house members will be seeing the pins in the not too distant future, coming to them via mail, and they are so cute. So excited for people to see them. If you want to join up, help support our show, and get some great swag, then head over to patreon.com/flameonshow.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
All right. So we talked about the good. You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life.
The facts of life.
Mrs. Garrett.
Girls. So I guess we won't start with BJ, so we'll go back around the other way. Let's talk about some things that were, you said you didn't have anything negative.
Oh yeah, no, you are absolutely correct. It is a perfect flame score for me, so I've got no complaints.
So let's go back around. Brian, what were some misses or things that left you feeling a little lacking on Loki?
I mean, if I have to pick anything, it's that I think the pacing of the show is weird. I do see it fit like in this sort of middle part. And so the beginning is one thing, and then they kind of hit this mid season sort of reveal, and then the second half, something else. But the pacing, I think this show would have been largely benefited with a few extra episodes in there to fill in some of the extra gaps and sort of make the pacing feel a little more, I don't even know, just it was still so good. But and if anything, I guess the pacing choices just surprised me. I did not expect the way that the whole what are they called? The Time Lords? It's not the Time Lords. That's enough. That's Doctor Who. What are the people called? What are the statues? The robots?
Space lizards.
Space lizards. Yeah. What are they? The Lords of Time. The
Timekeepers.
Timekeepers. Thank you. So the Timekeepers, that whole reveal, I mean, you know, okay, yeah, it's great cliffhanger ending, right? You know, but I just I don't know, I wanted more time with some of the characters. I wanted more time with Mobius. I wanted more wacky misadventures of Mobius and Loki by themselves before Sylvie even comes into the picture. I don't love the way they revealed Sylvie. I mean, I get we're not supposed to like her right away, and it's supposed to build into that, and she's sort of an unsympathetic character, but there was certainly something in the way they did that I didn't love. But it's still great. Like, if I went back and wanted to watch this show again, I would probably skim through I would watch the first episode, maybe skim through the second and third. But then once, like, they capture, you know, Loki and Sylvie, or they're in Immortus, or they're in Lamentis or whatever. I mean, that's the roller coaster ride hitting the top of the peak and coming down. That's the fun part, if you like roller coasters, because I don't. You know, but I'm assuming that's how it works.
Gotcha. Eric, what were some things that left you lacking on Loki?
Apart from just more Loki variants, and we needed at least one Owen Wilson wow. I think, yeah, the pacing, they could have had even two more episodes, just because there's really nothing butting up against it exactly. There's no movie coming out within the next month or two that needs this story to be done. So they had time, I think.
Well, I think the only thing to that, I think it was because of Black Widow, the way that the scheduling came out. I think Loki ended right before, was it the Wednesday before Black Widow debuted in theaters? I believe so.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I know there's a gap now. And I mean, we're getting What If in the next in 2-ish weeks. But I think that was the thing. It was Loki right into Black Widow. Then there's a gap. And then their scheduling got thrown off a little bit. But pretty much it was like 1 or 2 weeks in between. Everything was kind of the way that it was set up to run throughout the year. But I agree with you.
But yeah, other than that, I just think it was pretty solid all the way around.
Gotcha. I mean, I agree with both of you on pacing. BJ can have his perfect pacing for it. I thought that it was interesting the way that it all kind of rolled out with it. Lamentous to me felt like I know it was important, but for some reason that episode lacked the most to me. I liked the train portion of it, like leading up into all of that, but there was something that it didn't resonate with me the same way. And I would have liked to have seen more episodes. The other part of it, and it's funny because I this time around, a lot of times when we have these deep dive Microsoft conversations, I don't watch like the pitch meeting beforehand, and this time I actually did watch it. And if you have any, like, you're like, maybe there's something I'm not putting my finger on as to why I felt a little off about the show, watch the pitch meeting, because there are definitely some things that it calls out that I'm like, oh, okay. Loki, when he gets picked up by the TVA, legit just came off of the Battle of New York, mm-hmm. murdering people, killing Phil Coulson. This is not the Loki we had in Endgame, who was killed trying to protect the Asgardians that made it off of Asgard during Ragnarok and trying to save them. This is evil, murderous Loki. And apparently a slideshow is what made him a good person through all of that. Like, they really rushed the character development of it. They were like, here's the Loki that was a villain, but we know that you know the Loki of Endgame and where he ended up. It just seemed like it went really quickly into that. So I wish they would have done a little bit more to flesh out him growing and getting to that point. It would have still been really tough to do in 6 episodes, but with the shift of the focus going to Sylvie, as soon as they introduce her, there is no more time for him to grow. His entire character development pretty much ends with Sylvie's introduction, because from there, he's just reacting to Sylvie, and it doesn't really allow him to grow into anything more. He gets stunted by her portion, like her being part of the show. Don't get me wrong, I like Sylvie, and I'm not mad about her being a part of it and this being what it does to get to that point of, you know, He Who Remains / Immortus / Kang / that guy. But it just seems like it went through really quickly, while also feeling a little slow at times. The show felt slow. Loki's character growth was at breakneck pace.
There's a lot of talking. You're not wrong about the pacing in the first 3 episodes. There's just a lot of talking. And that's weird, but like, you kind of get it. And if Rowan Wilson and Tom Hiddleston weren't so good and charismatic, it wouldn't have worked. You know, and to Eric's thing earlier, to the art design around them, and the world that they were sort of built. I mean, that's why that works at all. But you read it on a page and you sit there and go, these two dudes are just talking the whole time. Like, why is this good TV?
That script was mighty thick. Absolutely mighty thick. And then, but I mean, overall, I did like the show. So for anybody listening that's like, string him up because he's talking bad about Loki. The only other thing that I wish there was more of was Hayley Kiyoko's demons in that episode, the beginning where Sylvie's trying to get into C20's mind to find out where the timekeepers are. Because that was an unexpected surprise. And I was so happy when I started the episode and the beginning of Demon starts playing. And I'm like, wait a minute. I know this song. And I was so excited for it. So it was definitely a pleasant surprise, but I wish there was more of it.
I'm also happy anytime Jamie Alexander gets to come back and be Sif.
Oh, yeah.
This is true.
And I mean, she got a good size cameo out of it, but I just miss her character through all the Thor movies.
And S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, when she showed up there. It's like she's been in everything. She's been in all of the Marvel things. It's great. She's a great character.
I think she's coming back, isn't she? There was talk about her coming, her reprising the role of Sif.
They didn't kill her off, right?
No.
I don't remember. Okay, good. Oh, no, I think you're right, because I think it's like Sif and Jane Foster Thor and
Valkyrie. She's supposed to be in Love and Thunder. So
good. If you're on Facebook, go to our website. Well, you can go to our website and find our Facebook link. But if you're on Facebook, you can just look for Flame On Show and you will find our Facebook page. I posted the link. It is an interview with Kazra Farahani, who is the art designer who it was so influential, and she cites all of the different influences and locations that they cited or they used or whatever. And it is a great deep dive into the look of Loki. So if the look of Loki interests you at all, and I know it did Eric and I at least, please go check that out. It's up on our Facebook page.
Love it. Love it. I honestly, I'm glad that we got to chat about it. I know that we didn't go as in depth as we do on some of our other shows, but there is much more that's going to be able to be talked about once we get through more Phase 4 movies and we see more of Jonathan Majors and the army of Kangs, because Kang in the comics has many different iterations, including Immortus. And I know there's a few others. I know he's tied into Franklin Richards and the Fantastic Four. And there's Kang does a lot. So,
he's Iron Lad. He's in Young Avengers.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Because I know there's like super old Kang, there's super young Kang, there's like Kang before he became Kang, all of those. So I'm excited to see them kind of dive into all of that. When we saw Loki make his way back into the TVA at the end of the finale and seeing the Kang statue in the TVA, watching the multiverse split off was really cool at the end once Sylvie stabs He Who Remains and watching the branches go. That was entertaining.
That episode is gripping and you don't know where it's going to go at any moment. And Jonathan Majors, I mean, we all knew who's amazing from Lovecraft Country and what he had done. I mostly know his work from Lovecraft Country. So, but the way he played that role, and I guess a lot of it was sort of improvised, not the dialogue as much, but no one really knew because it was after they came back from a COVID pause in production, like how he was going to render the part, and they didn't get to like really work with him ahead of time. And like he would just do things and the camera would just have to stay on him. I think the whole jumping on the desk was sort of a surprise. And so if you watch it, there's moments where that camera is just lingering on him and seeing what he's going to do next. So like that energy is fascinating. You don't see that a lot in television. It's kind of cool to see. So yeah, I'm excited for whatever weird incarnations that we're going to get of Immortus, Kang, whoever.
And one last thing in regards to that, and I don't know if this was actually done intentionally or not, but there is, I forget what site it was, but there is an article that talks about the synchronization of Loki and WandaVision, because it's hard to put where they're at. They're at the end of time. So when certain things happen, and especially considering, well, you say you're not sure, you know, not sure how things were going to go. And it's like, well, we know that the multiverse is happening because we've got Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness coming, you know, in the not too distant future. already teased by WandaVision. But in that scene where He Who Remains is talking to them and he drops the pen and he says that, you know, we've crossed the threshold, it syncs up time-wise with WandaVision's final episode, where Catherine Hahn's Agatha Harkness drops and hits the ground and Wanda turns into the Scarlet Witch. And then that's right after, like, time code-wise, right after she becomes the Scarlet Witch, that's when He Who Remains says, we've crossed the threshold. So it's very interesting. Whether or not that was intentional, that is a fantastic piece of synchronicity within the projects coming out of Marvel. So,
well, where do you think this is going to go with the whole madness of Multiverse of Madness? Yeah. Like, I mean, we've got the Wanda set up, we've got the Multiverse Reborn set up. Like, what are they going to do? How are they going to mingle all this and still keep, like, the Loki series? Because Loki, evidently, Tom Hiddleston was confirmed fairly late in Multiverse of Madness. At least that's the talk. I don't know if it's an official, like, oh, there's a poster with him. But, you know, how is that all going to fit together? Do you have a theory? Do you guys know?
I don't think they're ever going to close the multiverse. I don't think it'll go back to just one universe. I think it's going to continue to be a multiverse.
But I mean, how does it fit within Wanda's, like, and Doctor Strange? I mean, because it's a Doctor Strange movie. Hopefully he has a fairly prominent role. Like, what is that like? How does it all fit together? You know, that's what I'm most curious about. Is I don't have an answer. No, I don't know. Nobody knows. But, like, they're obviously trying to drive the multiverse as this new phase 4 plus thing going forward. Well, right, like you said, they're not going to close it off again, I don't think.
Well, I assume that Wanda's role is searching for her kids and stealing them from another universe where they were born, and potentially she's dead, but the kids are still there. Or she just steals them Fringe style.
Oh, Eric. Delightful. I forgot about that. Actually, that is a great show. Anyone who, and this is a show that a lot of younger listeners may not have ever heard of, I don't know. Think of, like, the X-Files, which you might have sort of been familiar with, and imagine, like, a multiverse version of X-Files. That's Fringe. And Fringe did such great work. Even more, I mean, Doctor Who doesn't do multiverse very often. It's mostly time travel stuff, right? A little bit of multiverse. But the Fringe did a great job of laying the foundation of how you would treat the multiverse in television. And then that show with J.K. Simmons, which I only watched a little bit of, that's on Amazon. I forgot the name of it, but that one's also kind of the same thing, kind of in the same ballpark. But yeah, I don't know. Pat, what do you think? How's Wanda and Doctor Strange and Loki going to have a, how are they going to party?
I've got a theory that it's a demon, a dancing demon. No, something isn't right there.
Mephisto?
Of course.
Master Pennywood with baby hands.
Oh my God.
He's going to have baby hands. No, I don't know how it's going to all play out. We've seen references to the Nexus. We've seen Wanda, I think, be referred to as a Nexus being, or at least Nexus being in the commercial in WandaVision. We had Ms. Minutes talking about Nexus events. We have all of these talks about Nexus events. I don't know how it's going to play out. I do like the fact that they are kind of playing with amalgams of all the different, these plots that we've seen before in the comics, I should say, not that we've seen before in the shows. And it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out once we get to not even just that, like, there's even talk that Spider-Man No Way Home is going to involve multiversal aspects to it, and potentially, you know, that's how you're going to have a Tobey Maguire cameo, an Andrew Garfield, you know, cameo, possibly even Matt Murdock, you know, like, or Charlie Cox's Matt Murdock type of thing. So I am excited to watch how it unfolds. I don't have any theories on what's going to happen, but this will be fun to watch. So do you have any theories on what you could see happening?
Oh gosh. No, that's the thing. I don't, I'm sitting here like, how does it play out? What's the genesis? How do you tell the through line from the previous Doctor Strange stuff? because you know that, I mean, it's been forever since I saw that first movie. I mean, that it, that was what, 4 or 5 years ago at least, I think, thereabouts, maybe four. I just it's going to be a lot to do in one movie. You know, like, how are they going to tie all this together and still make it a good Marvel movie? Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited too.
I think the multiverse is going to be the entire phase four. I mean, it's not going to, or potentially go on more phases than that. So I don't think they have to do too much heavy lifting in one movie, but
I just feel like that. And maybe I'm wrong in the sequencing here. So the next one is Shang-Chi, right?
Yeah, I don't think they'll deal with it at all.
Probably not. And then Eternals, which might but may not, right? And then we get Spider-Man, whatever, yeah. Home. What's the new
no
one?
Way. No Way Home.
So that one, I think, and then after that, we get Doctor Strange. I think Doctor Strange isn't until like next calendar.
Yeah. Well, who's first, Ant-Man or Doctor Strange?
That's a good question. I feel like
because Ant-Man will directly have Kang in it.
Right. It's the only one they've confirmed. But like, I feel like it's Doctor Strange first. But anyway, these are all great questions and is so much to figure out in the next phase of this whole nonsense. It's a delightful distraction from the rest of the crazy world that we're in. So, I mean, if you guys have theories, please let us know on our Facebook or Instagram, or hunt us down on socials, however you find us. Cause I'd love to know what you think, cause you might be right. Somebody figured out WandaVision. Somebody, I think, figured Loki out at some point. I mean, pretty much as soon as you started seeing the TVA and some other stuff, I think people were calling Kang or something showing up at the end, but, yeah, I don't know. I'm at a loss.
Yeah. It's going to be fun to watch when it comes out and how it all plays out. And Kevin Feige and the team at Marvel have yet to really disappoint us. So I have complete faith that they will put together a compelling and an entertaining ride through the multiverse and how this is going to impact everything going forward. So, but like Brian said, if you have theories, if you want to share your theories, you want to share your thoughts about Loki, hit us up. Hit us up directly via email. All of our emails are, you can find them all through clicking on us on our website, playmonshow.com. You can hit us up on all of our social media, again, all linked through playmonshow.com. And then tell your friends, hit up our Patreon, hit up our Threadless shop. If you do buy Threadless merch of ours, take pictures, tag us, let us know. We would love to see it out there. And then for our patrons, when our swag gets to you, do the same. Let us know. Show it off. And yeah, until next time when we reconvene here for another pop culture roundup. It's been a delight, and we will see y'all next time. Bye, bitch.
Ciao.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.